This message comes from NPR sponsor, Noom. Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, helps you build new habits for a healthier lifestyle. Check out The Noom Kitchen for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Live from NPR News in New York City, I'm Dwali Saikautel. The Biden administration is expected to launch major sanctions on Russia following last week's death of opposition leader Alexei Navalny. As NPR's Jackie Northam reports, the 47-year-old was a fierce and outspoken critic of Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Russia claims it's still investigating Navalny's death at an Arctic penal colony, but the Biden administration has made clear it holds Putin and his government responsible. Deputy Treasury Secretary Wally Adhiambo would not divulge details, but said sanctions are a powerful tool in dealing with Russia.
Our goal is to use our sanctions policy to both take actions that support Ukraine, but also hold Russia accountable for their blatant violation of human rights, not only in Ukraine, but also in Russia.
Still, 2 years of punishing sanctions on Russia have failed to cripple the country economically or militarily. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Washington.
At a State Department briefing today, spokesman Matthew Miller discussed the effectiveness of the sanctions against Moscow already in place.
I don't want to preview too much of what we're going to do on Friday, but it will be a robust sanctions package. We are always looking at additional ways that we can choke off the Russian war machine.
This as Ukraine marks 2 years since Russia began its invasion there. To date, the number of civilians killed there exceeds 10,000, according to the UN. In related news, the BBC reports that at least 60 Russian troops have been killed by Ukrainian missiles in occupied areas of the Donetsk region. But a Russian official on the Telegram channel said reports of this attack are inaccurate and grossly exaggerated. With just days to go before her home state's Republican primary, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley is sharpening her attacks on the Republican frontrunner, former President Donald Trump. She's also reiterating her pledge to stay in the race despite her long odds, as NPR's Sarah McCammon reports.
Speaking to supporters in the coastal city of Beaufort, Haley said Trump's rhetoric about Russia is making U.S. troops and allies less safe. She also criticized Trump's repeated attacks on her husband, Michael, who's serving with the military overseas.
You know, for a while we were like, oh, he misspoke or he said something wrong. But now it's just a pattern.
Haley has pledged to continue campaigning, quote, until the last person votes, though she has yet to win a primary and is trailing far behind Trump in her home state's primary polls. Sarah McCammon, NPR News, Beaufort, South Carolina.
In Asia, Japan's Nikkei jumped to a high of 38,924. That's surpassing the record close of 38,915 set back in 1989. That's some 35 years ago. This is NPR News. Investigators are working to determine what caused a museum honoring a legendary American blues man to burn to the ground. NPR's Netta Ulaby reports a fire destroyed the Mississippi John Hurt Museum early this morning.
Mississippi John Hurt, born in 1892, wrote this song about his hometown, Avalon, Mississippi.
Avalon, my hometown, always on my mind.
The 200-year-old sharecropper's shack where he once lived had become a destination for blues fans from all over the world. Now Mary Frances Hurt says all the artifacts in it have been destroyed. She's the musician's granddaughter who ran his foundation and museum.
I'm shaking and I'm hurt.
Hurt says the museum was one of the last surviving local structures that helped preserve Avalon, Mississippi's history as a formerly all-black town. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
Federal prosecutors in New York say a top member of Japan's organized crime syndicate attempted to sell nuclear materials from Myanmar to other countries. 60-year-old Takeshi Ebisawa is currently being held in a Brooklyn jail charged with international drug and weapons trafficking crimes, including attempting to sell uranium and plutonium for possible production of nuclear weapons in Iran. Another co-conspirator, a Thai national, Somphap Singhasiri, also faces drugs and weapons charges. If convicted, both face life in prison. Their arraignment is expected on Thursday. I'm Dwali Saikautel, NPR News in New York.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Edward Jones. What is rich? Maybe it's less about reaching a magic number and more about discovering the magic in life. Edward Jones Financial Advisors are people you can count on for financial strategies that help support a life you love. Edward Jones, member SIPC.